you believe people who are admitted participants in this crime and who are saving their own hides. If you believe, as I do, that their positions, their stated characters, so taint their testimony that everything they say is well within the area of reasonable doubt, then you have no choice but to find Mr. King not guilty. And when you walk away from the sorry testimony of the state's witnesses, you have nothing else from the prosecution. Nothing else. Ladies and gentlemen, at the beginning of this case, the prosecutor spoke of monsters. She not only found them, but she has brought them here to testify for the state. I have faith in you and faith in the American judicial system. And that faith leads me to believe that justice in this case demands more proof than you have seen in this case. I believe that justice demands that you reject the testimony of these men, consigning their stories to the area of deep doubt. I believe that justice demands that you return a verdict of not guilty. Thank you.
So Briggs is arguing that the prosecution's witnesses are mostly criminals, and they can't be trusted. He also says that his witness, Mrs. Moore, is not a criminal, and that she swore King was with her the day of the robbery. We know Briggs is at least partly right. The prosecution's most important witnesses are all convicted criminals. And each one cut a deal to get a lighter sentence in exchange for testifying against James King and Steve. In contrast, Mrs. Moore, King's cousin, has never been arrested. If you were a juror, would the witnesses' histories affect whether or not you believe them? Let's go on to O'Brien's closing statement. She'll be arguing that Steve had nothing to do with the crime. We're at the top of page 244.